Ooh, check, 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 check. That's a beautiful sound. That's a radio sound.
Mic check.
Mic check. Mic check it.
We on?
Are we on? Are we?
My headphones
are we,
good.
Are we got it? Green? Red?
Yes, red.
Red means record.
Red usually means stop. Here at Dan and Cody, it means go.
This is the Dan and Cody Podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
We've Dan and Cody Podcast.
Dan and Cody Podcast.
Dan and Cody Podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody Podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. I wish I could say a lot.
Yeah?
I wish I could say that I've accomplished so much since last Monday.
But?
I haven't accomplished anything.
God damn it. What about the website?
It's coming along.
Son of a bitch. I'm starting to think you're not working on it at all.
I don't want you to think that. But it's what's happening.
I'm going to have to call one of these circle space places.
No, what we do is
just lay it out
we
there.
We call India. There's a direct line. You just call India.
Boop, 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 boop. Hello, India?
Oh, I'm not going to go there.
That's Can I have a website, please?
That's right. And they'll make it for $14.
On Fiverr? We'll just go to Fiverr?
That's right. You go to Fiverr, you find an Indian guy, and he'll make it for you.
I'd rather just take $5 and whoosh it down my toilet.
Oh, you'll whoosh it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've done nothing.
So I can say I've actually done nothing. My mom came into town. My mom is actually sitting here with us at the moment.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Mama. She came into town to help out with the babe.
I'm impressed that you can still just podcast and your mom's in the room.
Yeah.
I would be totally freaked out.
Why?
Because I would think that my mom was just like, ugh. Like, hate it. You know how my mom does.
Yeah.
She just, like, sit there and disapprove.
Your mom loves you, Dan.
Right. Well, of course she loves me, but I feel like she would just be like, oh, no.
Why?
Don't say that.
Dan, you're killing the family name. Well, to be honest, we don't have a family name to kill.
This is going on the airwaves.
This is going on the internet. Honestly, you know, I've been thinking about it because I'm unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I've made 184 of these. We're on our 184th show.
You're one short Google search away.
I am a Google search away from never, ever being employed again.
From someone learning that you had, like, noids in your back of your throat that were giving you trouble.
Absolutely. there's concerns that the podcast may keep me out of employment, Dan. Do you think that's a reality, or do you think I'm overthinking it?
I think it's fine, because like we talk about weird things. They're not normally our things.
No.
I would say we're 100% on the right side of the argument most of the occasions.
That's what people say that have an argument for something that they believe in.
Right, but I mean, the worst thing that someone could listen to that you've said is that you worked out at the gym a lot and you passed out and peed yourself. That happens to a lot of people.
Yes, that happens. That happened to me once.
Or like you misfired at in the airplane bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that happened once too. How come everything ends up with me and urine?
So if any employer is listening, I mean, just get another what do you call it? Like a skirt around the toilet, and Cody's a fine employee.
That's right. And if any employer is listening, then you know he's just a human.
Yeah. We all have our faults.
Absolutely. Mine? The Dan and Cody Podcast.
We don't beat our wives.
No, we don't. We're true to our wives.
We're not drug addicts.
Nope. We don't do drugs. I don't know if Dan does it. I mean, if you're an addict, you tend to hide it, right?
Yeah.
So you could be an addict.
I mean, I'd be high functioning if I was.
Which is why I'm saying right now, I wouldn't know if you're addicted or not, Dan.
I'm definitely not.
Yeah, that's what an addict would say.
I'm addicted to love.
Okay.
And we're nice people. I don't think we say anything bad on this podcast. We talk about a lot of other bad people.
Yeah, well, we talk about some pretty controversial things and we say stuff like
Do
last
we,
week.
Though?
What did I say last week? If you want to buy a tiny house, you're a psychopath.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah, you've probably.
I just alienated anybody that ever wanted to buy a tiny house.
You have limited
but
your.
But to be fair, those people aren't hiring people because they're buying tiny fucking houses.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of work for tiny homes because they're tiny homes.
They're tiny homes. Who's going to buy, like, what are you. If you are buying a tiny home to live in, let's be honest. The market, it's just not working for you right now.
I stand by my thing. Okay. I want a tiny home as an addition, not like. End all be all.
That's fair. And that's fine. I'm just saying we've alienated certain groups of people.
Sure. People who aren't brand loyal probably don't like me.
Yeah.
People who dislike cool things.
That's right.
Probably don't like me
too
much.
That's right. So where do we go from here, Dan?
Well, I am happily employed, so.
Oh, okay. You don't have anything to worry about.
I got 180 some odd podcasts under my belt. Still have a job. So.
You, on the other hand, Cody, unemployed.
I'm sitting tight.
Yeah. Well
you could go the Joe Merle approach.
What's the Joe Merle approach?
His name's not Joe Merle.
I can tell people a fake name.
You can just flip it.
That's right.
Your application says
Eli Cunningham.
Not the full fake.
Oh, okay.
But you could do like K Frederick. Or like.
Oh, interesting.
Like put your middle name on there first. Yeah. Michael Frederick.
Right.
And then the Google search won't immediately eliminate you.
Yeah, we should have thought about this a little more before we jumped into this 184 episodes ago. We should have thought.
I'm covered.
Why are you covered?
All my shit is Daniel J. Hill.
Okay. Well, to be honest, there's not a lot of Cody Fredericks in the world.
There's so many Dan Hills.
There's so many Dan. Yeah, you are covered because you have the most vanilla name in the world.
Dan Hill here.
Hi, this is my name's Dan.
Like that ain't
Hi,
me.
Hi, my name's Dan.
Or just double down. You're not going to be in an interview and they're going to be like.
Do you do a podcast? Yeah, I do a podcast every week with a friend. We're two buddies. We talk about pop culture stuff. It's what we like to do.
It's a healthy hobby. Who doesn't have a podcast? It's 2019.
Yeah, who doesn't? Who doesn't?
There's podcasts about everything.
You're absolutely right.
We got two of them.
Yeah, like for example, I got a very good friend who collects dog hair, and he talks about it each week on his podcast. It's called Harry Harry's, and it's one of the things that he talks about every single week.
You're totally fine.
Okay.
You are a strapping...
Thank you.
Young.
Well, middle-aged.
Young Caucasian man.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, I do have the white thing going for me.
Yeah.
I'm white. They can't tell me I can't have
it. It's not like Jadaniel Klajavianson.
Frederick.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I can easily.
There's no red flags on the paper.
No, you're probably right.
And that's usually as far as it goes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, I feel better.
Don't worry about it.
Thanks, Dan.
Just stop peeing yourself, all right?
All right. Whew. Skadoosh.
Skadoosh.
So?
Have you had the Popeye sandwich?
I haven't, man. I haven't either. I haven't had fried chicken in a while. I actually made... I made my own like homemade fried chicken about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I haven't had a good old... fried chicken from KFC, or which I got to take my mom to take my mom and get some chicken and waffles.
Oh, at Roscoe's.
At Roscoe's.
You will love it.
Chicken and waffles at Roscoe's. So
syrup
good.
On everything.
My mom, she's so cornbread and potatoes.
You want the food not to touch.
Well, if it's not a steak and potatoes. I'm not interested in this food, honey.
Your mom does not sound like
my
that.
Mother sounds just like that.
She has
that.
The voice of an angel.
Well, either way, she's like, I'm like, hey, mom, do you want to have sushi? And her face literally starts to melt. And she's like, no.
No sushi.
I don't eat those kinds of things. And I'm like, mom, it's like rice and, you know.
Well, here's the thing.
You can have shrimp. Everybody loves shrimp.
I prefer Popeyes to KFC.
Is it? True?
I prefer it.
You prefer Popeyes to KFC?
I do.
Interesting.
I think their biscuits are better. I think the chicken is better. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Biscuits?
Yep.
At Popeyes are better than KFC biscuits.
100%.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Okay, fine, fine.
Buttery, melts in your mouth, they flake. It's great.
Sounds like KFC biscuits.
KFC's is too cakey.
Okay.
It's like
starchy.
Yeah.
It's got that little starch like that. Yeah, okay. Okay,
I prefer a flaky biscuit, buttery biscuit. Anywho. Yeah,
that's good.
Popeyes has rolled out in select cities this mystical chicken sandwich that's supposed to be the Chick-fil-A killer.
Okay, yeah.
It's supposed to be the sandwich to end all sandwiches. They rolled it out in L.A. It was all the buzz.
Sold out.
Motherfuckers.
Heartbreaking speeds.
Pardon my French. These motherfuckers.
Why? Why? What happened, Dan? How are you affected?
I've been to 4 Popeyes.
So?
Still haven't had a goddamn chicken sandwich in me.
Did you order some of the Popeyes every time you've gone?
No. I stopped.
But you did the first 2 times.
The first 1 time.
Well, that's fine. It's lunch.
Yeah.
But if you went every 4 times, they'd be like, they did what they were hoping to do.
They're
get you to go to Popeyes and spend money.
I don't get it. I don't get it from a marketing standpoint.
What do you mean?
Actually, I do kind of get it. The manufactured, what did I call it? It's manufactured scarcity.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes you want it more.
Absolutely.
And like,
everybody's talking about it. I need it.
They blew up the internet. They're like, everywhere, it's great. I'm like, how? Because I haven't had one of these sandwiches.
Yes.
I'm going to these Popeyes. There's 2 in my area.
Okay.
One of them, it was the day, apparently the day they came out, piece of paper sign taped to the front of the thing. Sorry, we're out of chicken sandwiches. How do you run out of chicken sandwiches? You're a chicken place.
Well, to be fair, they're a chicken place that normally doesn't sell chicken sandwiches.
Right.
They just sell fried chicken. So it's like, well, I guess we're going to need like a dozen buns.
Right.
Because they don't keep buns on stock.
But, and then I'm thinking like, okay, then this was a stunt. This was a stunt to like roll out a sandwich that might be good.
Right.
Test the market.
Right.
Break the internet.
Okay.
And then be like, we're out of it. So okay. Now everyone's tweeting about it, putting it on Instagram. Wow, everyone's out. We're out of chicken sandwiches. I need this chicken sandwich. And then you got half the people like, we love it. It's the most delicious chicken sandwich I've ever had. And now I'm like, give me this god dang sick chicken sandwich.
The only people that said they've loved it and have thought it's the best thing are the people that Popeyes has paid. They're the Kevin Harts of the world. They're these people with all this social media following that can say, it's the best sandwich I ever had.
Right.
Not, you know, the guy that lives next to you, Cletus, he's not getting one. Which, to be fair, you're Cletus in this situation.
I don't want to be Cletus.
Well, I know. You want to be Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
But you're not.
It's having a... But this sort of marketing is having a negative effect on me. Now I'm against the sandwich.
Now?
I don't like what they're doing to me.
You're questioning brand loyalty.
Yeah. I'm like, what is it about? Why can't... I feel that it's a... It's a problem within the company that they can't provide what they've
committed to
out.
Providing. Right.
Right. They even, and here's what makes me think that it's a bullshit scarcity.
What's that?
They have printed, they've now on my third attempt to get one of these sandwiches, they have printed outside the window a graphic that says chicken sandwich coming back soon.
Okay.
It's like, so that went through a level of like approvals, I'm sure, like any print graphic for a company.
Well, Popeyes obviously didn't realize the demand, first of all.
How?
Second of all, they're like, okay, well, we know there's tons of people wanting these chicken sandwiches. Let's make sure we let them know that we're going to bring the chicken sandwich back when we can allow everybody to have one. So let's create a sign that lets people know the chicken sandwich is on its way. It's had a couple of delays, okay? It had a stop off in Nashville, and then it'll be here in LA before you know it.
But this isn't like Supreme brand. This isn't like the Sega Mini Classic. This isn't the Nintendo Mini. This isn't a Hatchimal. This is like food. Like have enough food.
Well, then do yourself a favor. Look up the recipe online and make your own goddamn sandwich.
Oh, okay. I would open a different, better Popeyes if I could just do that.
What?
You're like... Make
sounds like somebody has just written their manifest destiny.
Am I going in the chicken biz? No.
Dan Hill chicken sandwich?
Check this shit out. A man is suing Popeyes over the sold-out chicken sandwich.
Dan Hill, I didn't know you had it in you.
He says, I can't get happy. He's from Tennessee. He spent countless time driving from one Popeyes to another in search of its popular chicken sandwich and is suing the fast food chain after he was left hungry. I can't get happy. I have this sandwich on my mind. I can't think straight. Craig Barr told the Chattanooga Times.
Craig Barr.
It just consumes you. That's what he says.
This is the saddest thing I've ever heard. Craig Barr is alone, by the way.
He's alone?
He's not married. He's got nobody to care for.
You think
he's got nobody to think? Yeah, absolutely. He's driving from Popeyes to Popeyes in search of a sandwich?
Hell yeah.
Get real. Oh, I'm at the Subway. I'd like turkey on my sandwich. Sorry, we're out of turkey. What?
You ever been somewhere and they don't have their main food?
Yeah. Chucks.
Chucks?
No, shucks.
What is shucks?
Shucks isn't a place. I'm saying, yeah, man, I have. But I don't give a damn. Like, you just move on.
You don't just say shucks.
What do you say? You're mad.
If you're going to a sandwich place, you're hungry.
No, I'm not mad.
And then they don't have it. You're like, well, God damn it. I got to find it somewhere else.
I mean, yeah, I can see the frustration for a minute. But then you realize, oh, right. Okay, I'm going to move on.
Craig Barr, he says he was scammed out of $25 by a man claiming to be a Popeyes employee who said he was selling sandwiches behind a restaurant. Once he gave the scammer the money, he never saw him again, Barr said.
You think? Why would you dare
Barr's paying
give a man that's giving you a sandwich behind a restaurant? That's the shadiest thing in the world.
Hey, you want one of those chicken sandwiches? I got
it's like
you, bro.
He's wearing a big long coat, right?
Right.
And he's standing outside Popeyes. He's like, hey, man, they don't have that sandwich inside for you. Okay, yeah. So what
I got him in my trunk.
I got him. I got him behind the restaurant right now. I can get you a sandwich. It's $25. Oh, man, I'm willing to pay anything for this sandwich. Of course I'll give you $25, weird dude in a long trench coat trying to sell me a sandwich.
I'm not saying Craig Barr is the sharpest knife in the drawer here, but he said...
Craig Barr is a spoon, my friend.
He's demanding...
It's not even a dull knife.
He wants $5,000. That's what Craig Barr wants. He wants $5,000. He says it's totally deceptive. Who runs out of chicken? It's a big fiasco, he told the paper. Someone has to stand up to big corporate. Everyone is captivated by these sandwiches.
Craig Barr has found the dumbest attorney in all of the United States. And that attorney has said, you know what, Craig? I think you got a case here. I think I'm totally going to represent you. Do you have the money to cover my expenses to be your attorney to sue Popeye's chicken? Yeah, of course I do. I'm willing to spend whatever it takes, but I want to make sure I get $5,000 back. What an idiot. I'm sorry, Dan. This is no longer worth my time.
When one North Carolina location ran out of chicken, a Chick-fil-A employee from across the street handed out the competitor's sandwiches to Popeye's workers.
Oh, very interesting. See? Look at that.
There's a war. Like, there's a war going on.
Chick-fil-A says, you know what? They see a challenge and they see a problem and they come up with a solution. Good for you, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A,
I don't like your company message.
Why don't you be open on Sunday? All right. Let's give this a rest.
They also hate gays.
Right. Everyone who works at Chick-fil-A.
So your problem is that they're not open on Sundays, whereas most people's problem is that they hate gays.
I don't think they hate gay. I think they funded the big corporate Chick-fil-A has funded
the big Christian right.
Right. The gay
the anti-gay movement.
Right.
They've given money to the anti-gay movement.
And we don't support that here at the Dan and Cody podcast.
No, Dan and I are pro gay.
Yeah.
We're so pro gay. Before Dan leaves every night, give him a sweet little kiss.
Yeah. That's not gay. That's just love.
That's love. And we respect that. And then if you are more than in love with a man and you want to do those things to another man, I don't know how, but it's cool.
Okay.
Like, that's your thing.
Now you're not getting a job anywhere.
Game over.
Damn it, Popeyes.
It's all right, buddy. So, are you the kind of guy that walks into your house and says, you know what? I'm not wearing my shoes through this house. This house is a temple. I refuse to wear my shoes in the house.
If wearing your shoes, not wearing your shoes in the house,
like
means your house is a temple?
Yeah, so should you, no.
Then my house is
the
a
question,
subway.
The question is, should you take your shoes off in the home?
I think so.
You think it's good to?
Yes. I think it's good. I think it shows respect.
It shows respect by taking your shoes off.
To take your shoes off, yeah.
Okay.
But not enough people do it. People our age don't do it.
I mean,
I'm not doing it right now.
From a health standpoint.
Is it good?
Yeah.
It's probably not good from a health standpoint.
To take your shoes off?
Right. Because everyone needs to be on board for it to be healthy.
Yeah, but what are you tracking into your house with your shoes? That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Like if one person is not taking their shoes off,
then
it's bad for everyone to take their shoes off.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
I get exactly what you're saying.
Because the one person is going to put the germs out there, then everyone else is going to have to barefoot their germy foot because they have shoes on.
So there's an article in the New York Times, and the question that was proposed was, should you take your shoes off at your home? And what's interesting is they had some interesting information here. There's a professor at the University of Arizona that studied how many and what kind of bacteria linger on the bottom of your shoes.
Ooh, and, I bet it's all pee and poo.
And in 2008, the researchers tracked down shoes worn by 10 participants for 2 weeks. So gave you a set of shoes, told you to go walk around, live your life for 10 for 2 weeks, come back, give me the shoes. Did it. And they found that the shoes...
Probably all kinds of shit on there. Boogers.
They found that coliform bacteria like E. coli were extremely common on the outsides of the shoes. E. coli is known to cause intestinal and UTIs, as well as meningitis and other illnesses. The study indicated that the bacteria can be tracked by shoes over a long distance into your home or your personal space. It basically kept them from putting their shoes on their desk, is what they said as a joke. But here's the interesting thing. It's possible to transmit germs from your footwear if you touch your shoes and then your face or mouth. But for the most part, it's a very low possibility that you're going to get sick from anything that you track into the house.
I agree with that.
And they're saying that it's relatively low because you're not like directly, you know, you're not licking the floor.
Right. If something falls in your floor, do you eat it?
If something falls on the floor, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I got a time frame.
Yeah.
You know, but what's the time frame?
What's the time frame? Like a day?
No. A day? Drop it, pick it up. Okay, we're okay.
Like a day, like you know. Well, I had Captain Crunch this morning. I see a piece of peanut butter Captain Crunch on the floor.
Right.
Let me get that, and it's like 8 hours later.
Oh, my God.
Are you doing that? We talking that?
No. That's terrible.
We're talking drop. Ooh, get that. Eat it.
Eat it. That's right. That's right.
I see.
Some other interesting points to kind of put things in perspective is they talk about sponges and how sponges are like the worst thing to have in your home. But they said that...
They smell like... Sponges get real grody.
Sponges are cesspools for bacteria. Like, they're the worst thing to use.
I put them in the dishwasher.
I don't know if that does anything good or bad.
Like, when they start to smell real nasty.
But they don't dry because it's still moist in the dishwasher when you're done.
I stick them in the dishwasher, bro.
Hmm.
And then they smell minty fresh.
Let's see here. The experts did say that washing your hands with soap and water remains the most important health practice. And... a professor at Quinnipiac University in Connecticut said that fecal bacteria are transferred from your shoes to your floor at home, but that for most healthy adults, this level of contamination is more gross, is more of a gross reaction than a health threat. Putting the threat into perspective, she noted that a floor in a public restroom has around 2 million bacteria per square inch.
Oh my God.
So that's like an inch, an inch, an inch, an inch. 2 million bacteria are there. She said a toilet seat, on the other hand, has about 50 per square inch.
50 million?
No. 50.
Just 50.
Just 50.
Did you ever see that video of that girl like licking an airplane toilet seat?
What?
Yeah. She just did it for fun. No,
for fun?
Like to go viral on Instagram or whatever.
Do you think she cleaned the toilet seat before she licked it?
Yeah.
She like wiped it down with some Lysol.
Still gross.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid, what would happen is my mom, she'd say, Cody, I need you to clean the toilets, but you didn't do good in school, so you have to use your tongue.
Sandy, how could you? That's why he's like this.
That's why I'm like this. I actually have E. coli in my brain, and it's just eating the brain cells. And Madeline keeps telling me, stop licking the toilet, Cody. I'm like, I can't like, help I it. Can't. It's just the only way I know how to clean it.
That's how I was raised.
That's how I was raised. I was raised to lick the toilet. But, you know, there's also that other argument that, like with kids, for example, we let them on the floor. It's important that kids get dirty, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They gave an interesting stat, and they're saying that kids, to help stimulate their immune system and strengthen it and improve it, they said kids that interact with a dog, for example, on a daily basis, when they're children within the first year, they're 13% less likely to develop asthma.
Wow.
While they also said that if a kid spends time in a barn, like a young child spends time in a barn, because that's what happens in the real world, I guess. Mm-hmm. Everybody spends time in barns. The kid is 50% less likely to get asthma.
That's because of rats.
What?
There's a lot of rats in barns.
Where?
In the hay. That's a thing.
There's mice.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying there's mice. Dirty. Dude, rats are a city thing.
No, that's not true.
Well, I'll tell you what. It is true.
No, it's not.
Like
there's rats all over.
There's
the place.
No rats in Idaho, bro.
There's no rats in Idaho.
Well, there's no rats out in the country where we're at. It's all mice.
Have you watched the rats documentary?
There's I'm not rats watching all over the your place. Dumb rat documentary, man.
Morgan Spurlock
no.
put out a fantastic documentary about insane. Rats.
No, dude.
There's rats everywhere, all over the place. The terrier, the dog.
Yeah.
That's a country dog.
Yeah.
That dog is bred. It has an instinct to hunt rats in the country, in countrysides.
That's in the UK.
Yeah.
That's not in the States, man. I'm telling you.
You said it's a city thing.
It is a city thing.
But this terrier dog is instinctually the opposite of inept. What's that? They are instinctively driven to kill rats.
All right. Well, you're probably right. There are rats in Idaho.
That's what I'm saying.
They're called the Norway rat or the brown rat.
See?
And they are
no one is
located.
Safe.
Oh, wait a minute.
No one's safe from rats.
They've only observed them in northern Idaho, not where we're from, Mom.
You guys are lucky.
Yep. They've only been observed in the county of Kootenay.
Guess what? They're coming. I promise.
They're not coming, man. There's no rats in Idaho for the most part. Safe place. You want to get away from rats? Move to Eastern Idaho.
Things to worry about in the future.
Yep.
Climate change.
Okay.
Man versus rats.
God.
There's more of them than us.
There's not.
Yeah.
Are there?
I think so.
You don't know that.
Pretty sure.
You're just saying that now.
I'm going to bet
okay.
more rats than humans.
Okay. There's over 6 billion rats on the planet.
Yeah.
You might be right. You might be right. Anyway.
Are
we going to get into rat talk now that I swiped this? Is that it? We already talked about rats. Is that what you're saying, Dan?
Just one quick Google search. I gotta know now.
No, you gotta know, but you're gonna know another time. What do you got?
7 billion rats.
What do you? 7 billion rats? Okay, sure. So. It's your day. I'm gonna give it to you.
Moxie is going to preschool on Wednesday. My little girl's growing up.
She's 3.
Yep.
They take preschoolers. 3's preschool.
Yeah. Wow. 3 days. 3 days a week.
How long does she go each day?
9 to noon.
Okay, she's got a 4-hour block. 3-hour block.
3-hour block.
Is she nervous?
No.
Are you nervous as a father, knowing that she has been aggressive towards children in the past?
I'm not nervous that she will like be hostile to any other kid. I'm nervous about the school's stance on potty training.
What's the stance?
They want the kid potty trained completely.
And what's your situation right now with Moxie?
She is not potty trained completely.
Like, give me a percentage.
I would say number two, she's good. She will not number two.
But she'll number one in her pants. Like, it's no big deal.
She will, yeah. I mean, she's getting it, but she's more susceptible to slip with the number ones.
Okay.
Like, in order for her to...
So, if she goes to the bathroom, so if she uses the restroom, she's got to go to the bathroom 10 times in a day. How many of those times is she doing it in the toilet, and how many of those times is she doing it in her pants?
10?
Yeah.
It's hard, because, like, I guess she'll wet a little bit and then be like, oh, I got to go, and then the rest will go in the
toilet.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that's just because she's so, like, into what she's doing.
Right.
That she doesn't want to stop.
Well, that's kids, though, right?
Yeah. But this school, they will not, they won't assist. The kid's got to be able to pull down the pants, go, wipe, and pull up.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
That's a lot to ask.
That's a lot to ask. Well, I mean, there's some liability issues.
That's a lot to ask of a 3-year-old. Yeah.
Well, I guess you need some special children that are able to do things that, you know, require a lot of asking.
So we might be getting some phone calls early on.
Really?
I think so. Because, like, they can't just let her run around all wet.
They could. She's only there for 3 hours.
They could.
They could. I'm just saying.
They go stand over there, wet girl.
Yeah, there's the corner. That's where we put all the pee kids. That's how they're going to stop her from peeing her pants. They'll put her in a corner with all the other pee kids. No toys.
I'm nervous for that, but that's it. Otherwise, I mean, she's smart. She's got this. She can color and knows her numbers and stuff.
Okay. So did they give you a curriculum so you see what it looks like?
I think they did. I think they gave it to Jenny. Like, they'll do, like, an activity in the morning, you know.
Right.
Learn, like, there'll be, like, a themed week, you know, of, like, the shit they're learning, and then they go play outside.
Okay.
Well, that'd be good. It'd be good for Jenny to actually get that block of time back where she can just, like, do her stuff.
Right. I mean, because she stays up crazy late.
Mm-hmm. And they charge you. If you don't pick them up, if you're late,
right,
$5.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And if you do it more than once, warning, you do it more than twice, you're late to pick them up.
Kid's kicked out.
They'd kick your kid out.
What? They're going to kick your kid out?
Yeah. And you know how we are with time.
Oh, you're really good with it.
And things that I care about.
Oh, wow.
We're in trouble. I'm going to get slapped with a fine. $5.
Wow. You know, you got to take care of your kids.
I'm nervous, man.
Good luck to Moxie.
Good luck to her.
You know, speaking of kids, we got an email.
Yes.
From a devoted listener. He gave us... He's a friend of mine, somebody that I've known from years ago when I lived in Idaho. His name is Tom Landaluce, and he's sent us things in the past, but he sent us a list of advice to being a parent.
We teased this last week that we were going to give this thing some justice.
That we were going to give it some justice, so we've got it here. He promised that he would pass along some advice to me, and it's simple. There are 8 things. It's not too crazy, so I'm gonna kind of kick these off to get it going.
Okay.
And I'm gonna start from the top, number one. Basically, he's saying, when you have a baby, harvest the placenta.
Yuck.
Feed it to your wife. He said that these are the nutrients in there that will help her recoup from some of what she lost during the pregnancy. The placenta is a part of her. She's just exposed. She's just gotten rid of that organ that grew for the baby, and now she needs to eat it back up.
How is this not cannibalism?
Because
it is the definition. You're eating human organs. Being organs.
Okay.
That is zombie. That is zombie cannibalism.
It's survival.
It's not survival. Okay. It's optional.
It's optional.
It's 100% optional.
That's right. That's right. Well, it is what it is. I think that's an interesting take.
Want me to read the next one?
Go for it.
He says, make detailed, idealistic parenting plans.
That's very helpful, actually.
Be sure to tell all the parent friends you have about these plans. Be a little bit self-righteous about how you intend to raise your child. Once this is done, hang on tight and see how quickly your plans and principles slip through your fingers. See, he even threw jokes up in there.
Well, he knew. He realizes it.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not all going to go the way you plan, Cody.
There's no plan. And to be honest with you, the only one in this relationship with the plan is Madeline. Me, whatever happens, happens.
You're along for the ride.
I'm along for the ride, so I'm looking forward to it. Number three, mistakes. A little follow-up on numbers one and two. Obviously, the placenta advice came too late for you to do anything about it. So, in a sense...
You didn't eat it?
No.
You have a little placenta smoothie?
I didn't even see it.
Ugh.
There was this period of time where placenta came out. They rushed it out of the room like so it was a person that needed surgery.
They're all like...
They don't want it. He doesn't need it. Get rid of that thing, you know?
It's like the cake at work during a birthday party. Just people eat it up.
That's
once
right.
It goes... That's the room.
That's right. And he basically is saying, mistakes. You need to get used to fucking things up. It will happen often. This is why he presented me with the first one to say, hey, you've already made your first mistake, but that's okay. Get a little taste of failure. You'll be better for it.
Number four, breast milk tapioca.
What is that?
He says, trust me on this. Human milk is the best milk. And with the proper employment of a breast pump, you will end up with a surplus of this white gold in your freezer. Use it well. Smoothies, breakfast cereal, mac and cheese, and the aforementioned tapioca.
Wow. I'm going to give it a shot, Tom. That's brilliant advice.
You know,
brilliant advice.
I heard that a shot of breast milk, hangover cure.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that, actually. That's great.
Have you tasted it?
No.
No, I didn't taste.
Not interested
either. Not interested.
Not either. Interested at all. I do not taste fluids that come from a person's body.
Isn't that strange that we're so like cool with cow milk?
Absolutely.
But like your own wife's milk, you're like, not a chance.
Right. And for those of you that haven't listened to us in the past, like I've said, Dan and I had this conversation. Milk in general, it's on the way out.
Yeah.
It's not as important as it used to be. And that's because of the milk consortium has lost the power that they once held.
Big Milk, you're in trouble.
Sorry, Big Milk. You're not telling me to give my kid any of it.
Hashtag the war on milk.
That's right. Next up, what's number five?
The socializing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When you rejoin your social circles, attend some sort of potluck. Bring a dessert.
I like that.
Maybe tapioca.
Ooh.
As your friends enjoy this dessert, casually tell them about the excessive amounts of frozen breast milk in your freezer. Then, as an aside, let them know about the time you made tapioca with that extra breast milk and just how good it was. Their facial expressions alone will get you through the first round of teething.
Ooh, I'm liking all of that.
He's really into, like, fucking with friends.
Oh, he gets it. No, he understands it's important that you keep people on their toes.
I think he wants you to get punched.
I think he does. But he's a good guy. He understands that it's about accepting mistakes.
Because you feed my family tapioca from Maddie's boobies, face punch.
If you never know, you're going to just be like, that's the best tapioca I ever had.
I'll just know to slap tapioca out of your hand.
Bitch!
When it arrives. On arrival.
Next up is the dad diet. I figured this one but put too late. But maybe it will help you. Kids often leave their food on their plates.
Mm-hmm.
They are shitty like that. Not only is it wasteful, but if you were prepared that food, it isn't. If you prepared that food, it is insulting. It also presents parents with a dilemma. Throw that food out or eat it so that it won't go to waste. The resulting choice is usually made on an already full stomach. A man can gain a lot of weight polishing off these leftovers. So think ahead. Do not prepare a meal for yourself. Eat what remains. You won't go hungry. You won't throw out un-eaten food, and you'll put off the inevitable weight gain. Here's the great benefit of this advice. It shows that fathers are the scavengers of a relationship.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
I get mad at Moxie when something is good is on her plate and she won't eat it.
So when you say you get mad at her, the level of madness, are we talking open hand or closed fisted?
Closed fisted.
Wow, you get really mad. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. What I like to do is sort of punch the wall like behind her.
And then you punch her?
But like close, like whoa.
Oh, you leave a dent in the wall.
Right, but a scare.
That explains all the holes.
Yeah.
You basically, there's this wall at Dan's house, and it's got what looks like a U. And it's basically, if you were to put Moxie's head right in the middle of it, it would outline Moxie's head.
That's right. That's right. But no, I think this is really good advice because, one, you stop getting mad. Because my thing is like, man, that's food that I could have ate. I like this meal.
Right.
You know? And you just bit the sides of it.
You don't like that beautiful piece of medium rare ribeye?
Ugh.
Get a job.
Get a job, kid.
Get a job. What's next?
Number 7.
Yeah.
Make friends with poop. And then he goes on. And pee. And vomit. And mucus. And drool.
Okay.
These are now the foundations of your life.
Wow, the foundation.
One or more of these things will find its way into your mouth at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. You will talk about these things often. And with great mirth.
Oh, thank you. Love it. Love it.
Your child's bowel movements will be cause for celebrations.
Yeah, it's definitely something you're learning to get used to. Like my child like moves around and he grunts and he makes a lot of noises and I think, oh, he's got a weird tummy, he's trying to get it out. And then when he does, he seems like he's much more calm.
Yeah.
So I guess that's being part of a parent.
Disagree about it making it your way into your mouth.
I do my best to avoid mouth things. So
I still put my shirt above my nose sometimes.
When what?
It stinks.
When you go to the bathroom?
When Moxie goes.
Oh,
because now that she's going in a potty.
Yeah.
It's just in there.
Oh, could you guys use the kid toilet?
Yeah.
You guys have to dispose of it.
Yeah, you got to take it up and plop it in the toilet. So I'll go in there. You know, train robber. Shirt over the head.
Train robber?
Yeah.
The train robber.
Give me all your money, son.
Looks like I got to take this treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Wow, okay. Well,
could have said surgeon.
Yeah, surgeon works, no. But train robber's where Dan Hitz goes.
Yeah.
And then we've got number 8. Say hello to tired. This is you now for the rest of your life. Tired. You will never feel anything other than tired. All other emotions will now be tinged with tired. You will be happy tired, angry tired, loopy tired, exhausted tired, sad tired, tired tired. You may think that you feel full of energy, but sit down for a second. Guess what? Tired. But do not despair. It's also a great excuse. Sorry about blank. I'm just so tired.
Yep.
Love it.
I agree with this advice.
And these are 8 healthy pieces of advice, pieces of things that to look forward to know what's going to happen and how to really manage it. So Tom, thank you, man.
Let's read his postscript.
What's the postscript, Dan?
Here's the great part.
Oh, this is the great part, actually, yes.
He said, and the beginning part, too. Here's the postscript. Worship your wives. They are magical creatures. They took gross fluids from the second grossest part of your bodies and made human beings from it. They transformed themselves into human-making machines. Then they transformed again into food machines for those tiny humans they made. Women are gods. Gods exist for us mortals to worship. Humble yourselves before your goddesses. lest
they smite ye.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you. That's super great.
Women are great. We love them.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Thank you for having our babies.
Yeah.
Our babies, meaning us, together, we're a family. La familia, Spanish, for the family.
The beginning part I loved.
What is it?
He says, one day there will be a new thing. Some form of easily accessible entertainment that replaces podcasts. And into this new world, a comedy duo will rise. They will get in on this new thing early. That proverbial ground floor, if you will. They will hail from podcast legends, young scions of the old era. They will be known to the masses as Mox and Fitz.
Mox and Fitz.
The Mox and Fitz podcast will happen.
One day. Yeah! Yeah, great. Good stuff. Well, thanks, Tom. Really great, great information. We hope our listeners appreciate it. You know, and thank you again, man.
Tom, that was magical.
I want to tell you about a company called JC Roomblocks. Do you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming to an event near you? Maybe you have a bris, a wedding, a family reunion, a science convention. Maybe some friends are coming in town and they just want to get drunk in one place. Or your mom's coming into town and she's got 10 brothers and sisters and they need a room so they can all come over to your house and have a bagel. Well, I have the answer for you. JC Roomblocks, they research hotels in the area that you need the room. So if you're in San Diego, they're going to find those rooms. They're going to put them together for you. Oh, what? You need to be in Boston for a little bit? No big deal. Go over to Boston and hang out with your Boston friends. You got 10 or 15 of them and you need a room? Fucking Boston. That's what you're going to do. Since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. On top of discounted rates, they can also negotiate highly discounted bridal suites, shuttle service, and food and beverage functions. If you mention the Dan and Cody podcast, that's us. They'll waive their fee. That means you don't pay anything, okay? Check them out, jcroomblocks.com. I'm going to repeat that, jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter and Instagram. Follow them, check them out. Get all them rooms!
Get those rooms. Cody, my friend.
Yeah, Dan, my man.
This article comes from Anna Davies over at the New York Post.
Oh, the New York Post. Okay, what did the New York Post have to say?
Wives are bribing their husbands with sex to get chores done. Have you experienced this at all?
No, doesn't work for me.
Maybe a little incentive?
Doesn't work. No incentive.
Little do the dishes.
No.
Little get you a little something in the bedroom. Yeah.
So, okay. Like, is this really that surprising?
They're calling it chore play.
Chore play.
Yeah.
I love the word play there. That's great. Chore play.
Exchanging chores for sex. It's on the rise.
Are there contractual agreements between the two in regards to the sexual? This is an inner layer of prostitution from the men.
Well, if it's being solicited, like if it's an open conversation, I'm out of it, you know?
What do you mean?
That would take me out of it.
Like, hey, I need you to do the dishes and then I'm going to have sex with you.
I would be like,
how about you? We do have sex and then I do the dishes. No, because I know you're not going to do the dishes.
I can't like talk about it, you know? It would just take me out of it. Then it's too much of a transaction.
Right.
It needs to be a little more covert.
Yeah.
Like psychologically.
Fuck
with me psychologically.
So if I'm Jenny, Oh, Dan. Oh, no. I need these dishes clean. Uh-oh. Somebody left some syrup on this plate. and then your response is, I can take care of that if you want me to. Oh, yeah. And if you take care of that, we'll see what happens next. Wink.
First of all, just hearing your Jenny voice. Trying to be sexy for me. Nailed it. It really disturbed me.
Why did it disturb you?
Please,
Jenny
never do
would
that
agree.
Again.
Like I nailed that.
You nailed Jenny.
I nailed Jenny's voice to you enticing you with sexual favors in exchange for washing the dishes.
I'm gonna have to disagree.
Okay. Well,
I'm on team like I don't want to know if this is happening.
Right.
I don't want to be aware of what you're scheming on. You know.
Right. Right. You want to be taken advantage of unknowingly.
Yeah. I want to be like, oh, cool. Well, I did the dishes. I put Moxie to bed, and me and Jenny got down. That was great. What a great day! And then, that's it.
Can't you just do those things without being enticed by sex, and you still get it anyway?
I think so. But what if Jenny's playing the long game and like already doing this?
So does this article tell you like how this is actually something that? Like, obviously, they're talking about this in groups or something like that.
Here's what the article says. Fans of the practice, such as Kimberly Hume, 38, say it's a fun, effective way to keep the household running smoothly. Husbands absolutely should do chores without a carrot or a stick, just like moms should be able to get through a day with toddlers without drinking wine by 3 p.m. And kids should be able to put their shoes on without the promise of cheesy snacks, says the San Diego marketing consultant and mother of 3-year-old twins. But where's the fun in that?
Huh.
Yeah. As a working mom, the last thing I want to do when I get home from work is do more work, like laundry and dishes, says the 32-year-old. If my husband wants a no-questions-asked free pass for sex, he will get it if he checks off those boxes. Especially okay. if he does it before he's asked. So this is something they've like just set up.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I don't think it.
Does this bother you?
Wouldn't be cool. Yeah. I need. It needs to be a little more spontaneous.
I think it's already unknowing to you at this point.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's already happening. You don't even know it, Dan.
Well, I'm fine with that then.
Okay.
It's like
good. So this is taking place and you don't even realize it. So it's exactly what you wanted.
It's like in the Matrix where he like bites the steak and he's like,
"This could be steak. This is nothing.
Yeah.
These are numbers."
And he's like, "Ignorance is bliss."
Right.
Hey, stop licking my knee, man.
Sorry, McFly loves to lick.
Come
Dan.
On, McFly.
Sit. Good boy. Anyway, cool, man. Well, make but sure you do good for your wife, right?
No experiences like that over at the Frederick household?
Nah, man, I do the dishes.
You just do them?
I just do them, yeah.
So it probably could be happening to you, too.
All the time. It's always happening. Anyway, magical.
Cool.
So. Dan, is it time for this week's True Crime? What do you got for me, man?
Oh, true mother flipping crime.
Mother flipping, flipping.
Here we go.
Who killed somebody? What happened? What's the crime? Tell me about it.
Here's the crime. Police were called, okay?
Okay.
They were called to stop a massive game of hide and seek at guess where?
Where?
IKEA.
Oh, really?
This would have been awesome.
That's a great place to have hide and seek, man.
Man, they were called to stop a massive game of hide and seek at IKEA on the 30th of August. They were rushed to a branch of the furniture store in Brayhead, Glasgow, after reports of people turning up to the shop and hiding in cupboards, fridges, and beds.
Oh, that's amazing.
The bizarre story comes after more than 2,000 people signed up to a Facebook event and set up to take the childhood game into this branch of the Swedish megastore. And another 10,000 enthusiasts also stated they were interested in taking part in the event.
Wow.
So it got leaked that like, yo, you know, like a major game of hide and seek is about to take place in your store.
Yeah.
And they just shut it down. They lined the street with cops and they were like, get the hell out of here.
Nobody's getting in here to play hide and seek.
There is no hide and seek going on. So the store's management got wind of what was going on. And after Facebook users began posting comments saying that they were going, It just
they realize like it's interesting because things like this, it's kind of like that Area 51 thing.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, oh, we're all going to storm Area 51 on September, whatever date. Come meet us. Let's all do it. And we're going to find out what's in Area 51.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that just happened recently. It's interesting how this social media can actually get people and motivate large groups of people to do things like that. It's actually incredible.
It's you have to take the negative with the good,
right?
That social media can do, because this could have been someone needed funding for their school band, and like they all had some sort of disease, and now they have enough money to go on tour.
They
and
got
also
E. coli from
disease.
Blowing the tubas.
That's right.
Right.
And that's a great thing that social media can do for people, but it can also bring traction
right
to stupid shit. Like,
absolutely.
How fun would a game of hide and go seek
be
in IKEA?
I'm a grown man, and I think that sounds absolutely exciting.
I'd be like, hey, drop everything.
I'm going to
We're
do
going it. To Burbank IKEA.
Absolutely. Like, it would be amazing.
But how do you organize? Like, okay, I'm counting and I'm looking.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
You just open up a cover like, found you.
Got you. Well, there has to be some rules. You gotta lay out the rules where there's limited places you can go depending on how many people are there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a team of people that are actually doing the searching versus the team of people that are hiding.
Right.
So you might have maybe a team of guys that are like,
we're seeking.
Small percentage of seeking versus the people that are hiding.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Another question is it a crime to play a game that doesn't hurt anyone in a store?
Is it a crime?
Yeah. Like, why were the police involved? How are they involved? No one's committed a crime. Like, you can go into IKEA any day you want.
Right.
You can also walk into a cupboard that's in IKEA. And if someone happens to find you and you two are playing a game,
right?
Is that really breaking any rules?
No, I mean, yes, in the sense that they can, that in the States, I don't know what it's like in Glasgow,
yeah,
right? But, you know, they have the right to refuse service.
Sure.
And it is a place of business, whether you're part of the public or not. It's still one of those things where people are coming and going to accomplish something, whether that's buying a couch or not, right?
Yeah.
So to use the space as you please, it's not up to you.
You ever played Sardines?
Sardines?
Yeah. It's a spin on the hide and go seek game, which I prefer.
What is that?
I would play it with my cousins in Wheeling, West Virginia. What's up, Jason, Julia, and Marisa?
What up?
We would One person's the counter.
Okay.
Actually, no, it's not true. One person hides, right?
Okay.
And then the rest of the group, let's say you have six people. One of the six hides. The other five look for that one person. But when one person finds that one person, you also hide with that person.
Okay, cool.
So by the end of the game, you got five people huddled up,
right?
Like hiding in the same spot, like trying to like
keep it all
be hidden. Sardines,
right.
Like jammed in a can.
That's kind of fun.
And then the last person, if you're last to find the sardines, then you hide.
Okay.
You hide on the next go.
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well,
try it with your friends in IKEA.
Yeah, and don't do crimes. Just don't do crimes.
I'm setting up.
What are you setting up?
Beer pong in a Walmart.
Oh, I like that.
We should have a beer pong tournament in Walmart.
Okay.
Let's get it done. Santa Clarita.
Done. Let's
this
do
Saturday.
It. Okay, fine. Well, Dan, I guess it's time for this week's
Champion of the Week.
The Champion of the Week. Yeah.
Well, Dan.
Who's got it?
So here's who I've got for Champion of the Week. It's kind of a weird Champion of the Week, as everything I ever do is off kind of kilter. But a man in Singapore was struggling to see his wife leave him. on a flight, not to leave him permanently, but she was traveling. And he wanted to see her off. But you know how rules are at airports. You can't watch your loved ones leave.
Right.
Not anymore. There used to be a time you could walk into an airport and watch the planes, people board, and watch them fly away. But not anymore. Not after 9/11. Way to go, Obama. And so it's time, you know, this man decided, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to buy a plane ticket. And I'm going to go to the gate with my wife. And I'm going to see her off.
Must be nice.
Must be nice, right?
Disposable income.
Disposable income to buy tickets for plane trips you're never going to take. Well, this guy did that. Super sweet. Lover man. Champion of the week. But guess what? Cops from Singapore arrested his ass.
Sons of bitches.
They arrested his ass for a little something called misuse of boarding passes or something.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so apparently in Singapore, planes, airports are considered transit areas. They're considered protected places. So anyone accessing gateside areas without intending to fly could be prosecuted for up to $15,000, and they could spend up to 2 years in prison.
Interesting.
So this guy was taking a chance, man. He said, baby, I want to see you leave, and I'm gonna take the risk by buying a plane ticket, not getting on this plane. Do you think that should be illegal?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Why is that?
Well, when I think about this stuff, I try to think about what would happen if more people did this.
Okay.
If 100 people did this, that's 100 people who have bought plane tickets and are not using them. And then...
So what? They still have to go through the same security you do. Are you worried about the safety purposes?
The people who actually want to fly are not going to be able to.
So what?
Flights are booked anyway.
Think about it this way. The benefit to you, if you have a ticket, you're getting on the plane, you could end up with an open seat.
Not cool. I'm
going
to end up being the guy who can't get on the damn plane.
Why?
Because some jackass wants to say goodbye to his girlfriend.
Maybe
say goodbye at the gate like everybody else.
I don't know, man.
Not at the gate. Say goodbye at security.
Say goodbye at the curb. When say you goodbye drop at them the curb. First place.
I barely stop with Jenny.
You push her out. Throw the bag out the window.
I'll get it down to 5-4.
Right, right.
But you gotta do the rest. Love it.
Love you. Right. See you, babe. Sorry, I missed the kiss. Here's your bag. Later.
But then think about this. Think about companies who are like, ooh, let's go market to a captive audience waiting for their flights. Then you're going to have assholes buying up 100 tickets, and they're going to come from Verizon Wireless, these people trying to get you to take surveys and buy phones. And while you're waiting for your flight, playing Sudoku, some asshole is going to want to sell you the next iPhone 15. While you're sitting there.
They already are, man. There's shops galore in these airports.
Right, but they're going to have like little foot soldiers fucking around.
They don't need to buy tickets to do that, man.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. They're already in there, man.
If they want to walk around and get you. I'm talking about guerrilla. So, guerrilla marketing.
Guerrilla.
Guerrilla.
So your concern isn't the average Joe. Your concern is the big company, the big corporate.
The slippery slope of it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well.
People are going to want you to like listen to their CD and shit.
What are you talking about? Like you're walking the Venice boardwalk?
Yeah.
Those guys can't afford a plane ticket.
More people do this, the gate's going to be the Venice boardwalk. I'm telling you. Check out my CD.
Okay.
Buy some weed. Hey, you like these sunglasses? And it's going to be in your face. People are going to be mobile.
You need a prescription for something?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a problem.
I don't believe so, but.
But
okay.
Very sweet, the man wanted to say goodbye to his wife.
And that's why he's my champion of the week, Dan.
It's just really unfortunate that one person couldn't make that flight to go see their loved one.
Oh, geez.
Because this jackass bought a flight.
Thanks a lot, Obama. Well, that's our champion
of
the
week. Woo!
Well, that was our journey, Dan.
That was our epic weekly journey.
And you have any thoughts or feelings on the end of the week?
I'm glad we took it.
Labor Day weekend happened. We're done.
L Day weekend.
L Day.
And, you know, if you didn't get off today, then maybe next year. Maybe next year for you.
We're hoping for you.
Yeah. But, you know, we got jobs that we're off.
So, good luck. Anyway, have a great week, you guys. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast.
Oh, hey, if you like Melrose Place, you know, me and my wife do a Melrose Place podcast.
Yeah, check out the podcast. If you like Melrose Place, Dan and Jenny have some really incredible insight into Melrose Place.
Yeah.
Check out their podcast. It's a rewatch podcast.
At Melrose Pod.
At Melrose Pod. It. Yeah, check it out. And anyway, we're going to leave you guys with a couple more odd.
Oh, yeah.
We got a couple more messages on our...
Right. If you haven't seen, I've been posting incessantly on Twitter, on Facebook, our new hotline.
Yeah. And give us a call on the hotline.
Get that phone number. It's clear as day on our social media.
Yeah. And just give us a call. Leave us a message and we'll play it on the over the air.
That's right.
Thank you, guys. Have a beautiful week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram at Dan Cody Podcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Everybody play the tough guy to shit, bro.
Right.
I hope I'm calling the right number. This is the Dan and Cody podcast. Yeah, I found your little hotline on Twitter. I was checking out Twitter the other day, and I saw it, and I just want to tell you guys that you fucking suck. I don't like it. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and this one is by far the worst. I want to find you guys in the street, and I want to bash you in the head with a spike bat. I don't fucking like it. It's terrible. It's the worst podcast I ever fucking saw. I can't believe I'm even talking to you guys. I stopped eating my cannoli for this, just to tell you guys that you fucking suck. So, hey, happy Wednesday, and eat shit.
Hello, my name is Gregory Baker. I am a tiny house owner in Oregon City, Oregon. I listen to the Dan and Cody podcast regularly every week, and I have to say, I was a bit offended by Cody's statement about how if you want to own a tiny house, you're a psychopath. I am not a psychopath. It's me, my 7 cats, and I cook good meat every Friday night at my place. I just want to say, kind of watch what you say, guys. You're really funny. You do good jokes a lot, but I love my tiny house. If you guys want, give me a call. I'll talk to you about my tiny house. It's a beautiful place. It's got 2 levels, and I enjoy the barbecue in the back. So my cats, Toby and Kissy, want to say hi. The other 6, yeah, they're a little crazy. Calm down, Toby. Get your face out of there. Toby. Anyway, thanks, Dan and Cody. Please respect other people. Thank you.